If you'd turn in your Bibles, please, with me to our weekly Bible reading, which is Acts, the 14th chapter. We're going to review a little bit, and even though we're going to rather skim over some of the chapters, it doesn't matter how much you would delve into every one of these. You cannot exhaust one single verse or one page of this scripture. Whatever you want out of it, you can go and get, and you can say it 20 times and someone else can get something out of the same scripture. So skimming it doesn't mean that we're leaving things out or overlooking things or think that that's not important. That's not how it is. So first of all, if you will turn to the 14th chapter of Acts, and now turn back one page to the 13th chapter and the 47th verse, and it says, I, God, have set you, as a light to, and what's your Bible say? Probably Gentiles. I would like to say that I have set you as a light to Banks or Cornelius or wherever your corner of the world is, that you should be for salvation to the ends of the earth and wherever you might go. We don't escape ever being not in the spotlight of shedding God's light and his gospel wherever we go. We never escape that. Now, our Bible reading for the week was in Acts, the 14th chapter through the 18th chapter. So in the 14th chapter, we find the scripture in the 5th verse where they were attempting to stone Paul and Barnabas. But they learned about it, and so they took off and left there and didn't get the stoning that they thought they were going to get. And then in the 9th verse, we have the lame man healed who had lame feet from his birth. And we have two gifts operating there. There are many gifts of the Spirit. The ones that are demonstrated in this scripture are the gift of discernment, which is where you know something without someone telling you or reading it or learning it any other way. God reveals that to you. That's a gift of discernment. I've known people who have that gift, and it's quite amazing. They can tell you things that you didn't know about you. So it's quite interesting. And then the other gift, of course, was that of healing, and they were demonstrating the power of God in the gift of healing. As they healed the man, told him to jump up, and he did. And in the 19th and 20th verses of the same scripture over in the town of Lystra, we find that Paul was stoned and dragged out of the city. Have you ever thought about that? When I think about, oh yeah, they threw rocks at me, fell over. It's more than that. Have you considered they said city, so it's as big as Banks. So if you were here and we stoned Paul here and drug him out of the city, he was already what they thought was dead. How did they do that? Did they grab him by each foot and drag him, let his head bump along on the cobblestones? Probably. All the way out there. So he was as good as dead. But then, in the same scripture, we find a miracle happened. Have you ever noticed that at the last part of that verse, in the 20th verse, I believe here it says, we'll read the whole verse, 20th verse, however, when the disciples gathered around him, he rose up and went into the city. And the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. Did you ever think about that miracle that happened there? Quite amazing. He was a dead man, and it doesn't say what they did. They didn't say that he anointed him. Doesn't say they even did anything. Said when they gathered around him, it must have been the power that they had in their lives just being enough to raise him up. What a marvelous thing. Moving on to chapter 15. And the first verse, we find a conflict over the matter of circumcision or not, and can you be saved? And then over in the 11th verse, we find that the Apostle Peter stands up and he says, we know that through faith and believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved in the same manner as they. You can't ever do good enough or be good enough or anything else to become saved and go to heaven. All you can do is ask Christ in. These people were under the same dispensation that you and I are. It didn't just happen, a long time ago. Yes, it was a few years ago. God doesn't see it that way. Everything that happened then can happen for you and me now. The same spirit, the same power. Our motto verse should be up here, but it says Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. So they found Jesus Christ as their Savior as well as those others. So then in verse 36 of chapter 15, we find that Paul and Barnabas got into an argument. It doesn't say that. What's your Bible say there? It says, down in Oh, 39. My Bible says, then the contention between them was sharp. Now, what we would say is today they got in a big, fat argument about each other, and they were probably yelling and shouting. Our Bible doesn't say that. But nevertheless, it was so much that they decided to split. So this was not an argument they decided to have. God brought this about, that they would split apart. Paul chose Silas, Barnabas chose John Mark, and they had two ministries going out now instead of one. God increased his ministry here in that verse. Chapter 16. In verse 16, we find Paul, Paul and Silas, rather, in that verse, and they're besieged by this slave girl, and she has a spirit of divination, and these other guys are making a lot of money off her telling fortunes, and then Paul and Silas pray for her, and she's healed from that, and so they're really mad. We have mad guys that were bad guys. Now they're all upset, and so they try to beat Paul and Silas, and they do. It would be bad enough to take a beating and then be let go, but they didn't do that. They beat them, and then they threw them in prison and put them in the stocks. Can you imagine stocks? Have you ever thought about it? You can't scratch your face. You can't blow your nose. You can't do anything. You're stuck. And what does Scripture say happened? And did you think also this was in a prison of a whole bunch of people that were bad guys before they got there? How many? We don't know. Probably about as many as is in here today. There are probably that many in the prison. Were they Christians? No. So what happens to them here? In chapter 16, verse 26, we have where it says about, if I can find it here, suddenly there was a great earthquake. This was about midnight. They were singing songs. How can you be in stocks, having just taken a beating, and still praise the Lord? How could they do that? God's spirit must have been very strong on them. They must have really felt his presence to know that this could even happen to them and they would still be happy and praising the Lord. At midnight, wouldn't you think you'd be trying to sleep or something? Not them. They were praising the Lord. The earthquake happened. And what does happen? All the doors fly open. Their chains fall off. The stocks fell open. Here we have a strange thing. Of course, they couldn't turn the lights on like we would and say, look at everybody. They couldn't do that. It was pitch dark in there. Do you realize that the same thing happened to you that happened to them when you asked Jesus into your heart? Your chains fell off. You may not realize that, but they did. Scales from your eyes fell off so that you can understand. Peace came to you. I have a sermon that I do sometimes is about peace, purpose, and perspective. And that's what you got when you asked Jesus in. He brought you peace in your heart. He brought you a purpose to live in this life. You don't wonder why you're here anymore. And he brought you perspective. You have the great picture of where you came from, why you're here, and where you're going. You don't need any more than that to get through life. Peace, purpose, and perspective. Chapter 17 and verse 27. In the last part of verse 27, it says, though he is not far from each one of us. Do you think sometimes that you're maybe by yourself? And where is God? Well, he's right beside you all the time. And of course, all of you know that already. You're being Christians here. For in him we live and move and have our being. Everything we do and say, every place we go or don't go, all the time, God is right in you. What a wonderful thing. And he says, for we are also his offspring. Do you love your children? Of course you do. That's how much God loves you, and twice as much as that. God loves you. We are his offspring. My, what a wonderful thing. In chapter 18, we find Paul and Silas traveling around in different parts of the country. And they even record here that Paul went to the city of Cenchrea and got a haircut. You think that would be significant? Doesn't seem like it to me, except that he had taken some sort of vow. And so this was the reason the scripture's in there, because this vow was part of getting his hair cut there. And then they traveled on through Galatia and Phrygia, which is overland, not traveling by sea. They travel a lot by the on a ship. But now they're traveling overland, and they went through an area about the size of Oregon and Washington, and then continued to minister all the time that they would do that. And then in verse 24, we come to the ministry of Apollos. And that was the reading for last week. Now, I want all of you to stand up for a moment, if you could, please. And visit with your neighbor for a moment while I put my little act together here. We're going to do a little skit for you. So, visit and talk. Get right over there. And you can all stand right here. And remember, now you're going to shake your fist.
I don't have a card. Can I get a card?
Oh, there's one right there. You're just going to say a whole bunch of junk. You're all going to talk at once, okay? You're going to shout and shake your fist because you're mad at him, okay? And then you're going to take him right over there and stand him up over there. And then you're going to go over there and put your feet, I mean your feet, you're going to put your coats at, where'd my, Jonah, he's going to be over there. He's going to be Saul. You're going to put your coats at his feet. Then you're going to pick up a rock, two rocks, and get in the line right there, okay? And then I'll tell you what to do. Okay? So you stand over that in a group, tight group over there. And remember, you're all going to talk at once, okay? Get in a tight group. Go ahead.
Wait, Jonah is who?
Stand right up there.
I am amazed.
Are you going to use any of us?
Yep, a little later. Oh. Don't get in a big hurry.
We're going to sneak.
Okay, you can just sit down here and I'll call you after a bit. And
okay.
You're going to come up as a group. You're going to come up here as a group after a while, and then I'm just going to send you out in different places. You don't have to say anything or do anything, okay?
You don't?
Okay. You can?
Larry, do you still have a curtain I can hide behind?
No, and get that smile off your face right now. Okay, get right here. Come up here in a tight group.
Yeah, you're further than
us. Yeah. I don't know if that one works or not. We could get one from... Where did the other one, Steve, go? Does that work? No. And where Steve went?
This is why I...
And I'll ask Kevin to bring you one, okay? Yeah. Okay, I'm right. Pardon me? Why don't you stand a little bit further over, right over here. That'll be good, okay? Good. No, over to him.
So,
I don't think that one works or couldn't get it to work.
Cousin Larry, so we're yelling, drag him up there, and then going later.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, I think we're ready. Okay, we're going to stone Stephen here this morning. And the reason I'm doing this is because I am practicing on you. God gave me this object lesson to do for BCA Faith West out there. So you are the guinea pigs today. So I'm getting this together on your behalf and their behalf, all right? Turn in your Bible, if you want to, over to the book of Acts and the 7th chapter and the 54th verse, 53 or 51, rather. And the guy said there's nothing more dangerous than a circular firing squad. Courtesy laugh. Okay. Have you thought about how they stoned people in those days? I always think, well, they all threw stones at the guy. Well, what if they were all around your stone? If you missed, would go over and hit that other guy. Did they stand him up in front of a certain way? Did they have certain rules that said, now, the first rock you throw, you have to throw only at his feet. Do you suppose they had any rules like that? I don't know. We have rules in our society that you don't talk about very much, but maybe there was some about stonings. I don't know. Maybe not. So you haven't thought about it. It's all right. Here we have a group of people over here that Brother Stephen has been preaching to, but they don't like what he's been saying because they're not keeping with the law of Moses. So they're all uptight, and so they're mad at Stephen. And they're shouting at him, and then Stephen says, number one,
I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God.
Can we make that a little louder, Phil? Try it again, real close to your mouth.
I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God.
God revealed himself right through the clouds to Stephen. What a marvelous thing. Here Stephen was at his last breath almost. And here's what he saw. He saw Jesus up there. Man, what a wonderful thing. So then these people got all upset with him, and they went over there shouting,
"You liar!
You liar! You lied to me! You lied to me! Why didn't you go somewhere else?"
Go get him. So they take Stephen, bring him up here, okay? And here we have, who do you think this guy is over here? Brother Saul. Not Paul, but Saul. Stand up. Okay. Can you all see Saul there? Okay, and then what did they do with their coats? They put them at his feet, right? Perfect. Gonna get out of the way here. And then each of you were supposed to do something else. Yeah, right. What do you think about the rules? Have you thought about it? Should they hit him in the head first? Now, Saul didn't like them a little bit. What was his job in life here at this time? He was going and dragging people out of the church. And it occurred to me, what if President Obama sent the National Guard to banks and brought a guy like Saul, maybe a guy from ISIS, and started dragging you out of your house to jail? Remember now, there's no time lapse between these people lived in the same dispensation that you do. The time lapse hasn't, for God, has not changed. What if this happened in banks? What would you do? I know what you would do. You would say, "Let's get out of here." Okay, let's continue. Once again, then, we have Stephen over here. He realizes he's in deep trouble. You can see the rocks in their hands. And he says, number two,
"Lord Jesus, receive my soul."
Stone him. Okay. You were supposed to only throw one rock. Everybody got one? Not you. So after he got hit with the first rocks, he knelt down. Now, they probably did not take a break like I did. They probably kept right on throwing rocks until he fell down. We don't know how it happens. Like I say, there may have been rules. You throw the first rock, and then you must wait 30 seconds before you throw the second rock. And who started the rock throwing? They must have had a leader that said, "Don't throw until I do." So somebody in the group there must have done that. Did they have rules? I have no idea. The scripture doesn't say anything about that. If you wanted to go follow history back in a secular manner, you might find out how that happened.
Lord, do not charge him with this sin.
And who said words like that in another place in the Bible?
Jesus
said, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." These people didn't know what they were doing either. All they know was they are mad. Satan, the same Satan that lives in your community, lived then. He treated them the same way. He confused them every chance he got. He'll confuse you every chance he gets. He'll cause you to do things that you didn't want to do. Or later on, you'll wonder why you did. They were mad and kept on throwing rocks. Okay, and Stephen breathes his last. Good, perfect. Saul went about doing his work just as happy as he could be. He was supposed to show some joy when they were throwing the rocks, did he? I didn't notice. Okay, good. Okay, you're all dismissed. Thank you very, very much.
Pardon? We're going to leave that stuff there.
Yeah, just leave it. It's fine. The point of this demonstration is every week that you and I come here and listen to a good sermon, Skip so eloquently gives to us all the time, God expects you and I to lay our life on the line, to get out of our comfort zone, to go and do things that you maybe wouldn't feel like you could do. He expects you every day to do what you think you can't do. Thank you. I would like you to picture, if you will, looking straight down on a billiard table or a pool table. You have the cue ball, and all the balls over here are all racked up. So we're going to call Saul here the cue ball. You want to say that with me? Saul the cue ball? Go ahead. Good. Every day there's a Saul in your life. So what happens when the guy with the cue stick whacks that ball and goes over and hits those others? What happens then? Where do they go?
Everywhere.
Exactly. We know this as a dispersal or a scattering in Scripture. It's over in, I'm going to read to you in chapter 8, verse 1 through 4. And it says, "Now Saul was consenting to his death at that time. A great persecution arose against the church, which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles, and the devout men carried Stephen." Stephen was not an ordinary guy. They took good care of him after he was stoned like that. They didn't just leave him to lay in a heap somewhere. They gave him a good burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering every house, just like Obama's crew might do, or the ISIS might do, drag you out of your house. So they all took off everywhere to go. And what did they do when they got there? Dragging off men and women, committing them to prison. Therefore, those who were scattered went. And instead of using the word everywhere, we're going to name some towns. Come right up here in a nice little group and face the audience like you weren't guilty. So today, if you're God's servant, and you are, you're his chosen ambassador where you live, he's going to send you perhaps off to Pendleton, maybe to Astoria, maybe over to Klamath Falls, maybe to Cornelius, maybe all the way to North Plains. God knows your heart this morning. He knows where he can use you and what you can and can't do. He won't put on you more than you can bear. He will help you through everything, everywhere you go. Your cup of cold water might not look like mine at all. It might look like a ride for someone to get a prescription. It might look like cutting some dry firewood for someone. It might look like, what would it look like to you? God knows what your cup of cold water looks like. We're supposed to ask him every morning when we get up what that is. Father, what does my cup of cold water look like today? If you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, it's real easy. If you would like to do that, would everyone bow their head, please? If you don't know Jesus as your Savior and you would like to, if you would just raise your hand, I'd be glad to pray with you. We won't embarrass you at all in any way whatsoever. You don't have to give your money. You don't have to sign anything. All you have to do is give your heart to Jesus and receive peace and purpose and perspective in your life. Thank you. Father, today as we go our way, we ask you to walk with us, whatever that might be, wherever we go, wherever you direct our life and our path. We ask you to shine light on it, that we would not stumble. We ask you to bring the scriptures to our conversation, that others would see you in us. We ask you to forgive us and lead us and guide us every step of the way. Help us to realize our cup of cold water. In Jesus' holy name, amen. You are dismissed. I think we have some refreshments or comments.